to clarify what we have been, the county is the one that's imposed the fine, and at most it's been about 100 to 120 people.
So I would echo Commissioner Novick's comment that it would be okay with me if the commissioner in charge of parks had a more sliding scale. It seems to me that you might even get better compliance if you had to fork out $20 the first time and $50 the second time. You'd maybe get cash on demand. Because the goal is to get folks to come into compliance. And I personally have noticed a lot fewer dog owners who are irresponsible over the last 25 years that I've been here. So I think that we are developing a culture of, yes, that's what we do here. We pick up after our dogs. But I'm not sure that the off-leash part of it is still part of that, particularly in parks. There's the sense that it's a park, so my dog gets to run around.
And I just want to touch on that there is an appeal process for this, which is part of the presentation. But I know we're running short on time. I know
you interrupted your presentation. Yeah. All right. Sorry, Eileen.
Okay. I think we're through it.
Are we there?
Yeah.
Is there perhaps a community service option where people could help pick up waste in lieu of a fine?
Now we're getting creative.
Yeah, we haven't thought through that option, that's for sure.
Okay, I think we want to hear from the public. I think there's some folks signed to testify, but I think you're hearing a sense of the council here that there may not be anything wrong with the construction of the ordinance. It gives some discretion to the commissioner in charge, whoever that's going to be, and the bureau I think you're also getting a strong sense of the council that some fairly graduated approach rather than, you know, too bad you weren't here for the education program, we're nailing you for $150. I think all of us are balking a bit at that prospect. So a more graduated approach, I think, is allowed by the ordinance, and the not-to-exceed language with respect to the fine gives the commissioner and the bureau a chance to, one, try something reasonable, and two, modify it based on how many emails Commissioner Fritz gets or the rest of us do. So I think that's a sense of the council here, is that we want you to use the authority in the ordinance to develop a more graduated approach. I think we'll hear what people here think about that, but I think there's some consensus about that on the dais.
We can develop that approach.
Okay.
For you. Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Folks that are signed up to testify on this item?
We have four people signed up. Please come on up. They are Alan Field, Barbara Pierce, Tanya March, and Susan Lindley.
Welcome. Ahead, Alan. You're on first.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, commissioners. My name is Alan Field. I live in the Richmond area, about four blocks from Schoolcraft Park, for the past 22 years. And most of those years, I've been going to the park almost daily with my various dogs. My current dog is almost 15, and we're still able to walk there most days and go to the park and community garden. I was on the original off-leash advisory committee in 2003 and 2004, and I was on the current, most recent off-leash advisory committee. And I just want to make four quick points on this. First, I think the site steward groups, which we formed at Schoolcraft, are absolutely key to the success of this program. They're key to have dog owners educate each other, self-police, and to help Parks and Rec maintain the off-leash areas. In Richmond, I joined the board so we can create a Schoolcraft site steward group, a very active group. We did monthly poop trash pickups. We educated dog owners. We did a comprehensive survey of attitudes, and we helped maintain that area. So I think the city can do a lot more to encourage the creation of more site steward groups. Part of my role on this recent committee is I drafted the new stewardship toolkit to help encourage people and institutionalize the ability to form steward groups. But the city can do more, do outreach to welcome people to come forward and form steward groups, maybe create a partnership coordinator position to devise these things, encourage people to create a Friends of Portland Dog Parks. Second, I'm very encouraged that the Rangers' primary role is to be education first and park and rec ambassadors. Portland is number one dog city in the country. Friendly park rangers are key. Discretion, and I think your proposed changes about graduated fine is an excellent idea. And third, my understanding is fines will go into a security fund, which helps pay for these rangers. I think that's a mistake. You should put fines into a general fund. because it's bad PR, it doesn't look good, and you might have a mindset among some rangers that their salary is supported by fines. And it's easy to put in general fund and transfer it. It just, it's not a good way to set it up. So that's my suggestion. And fourth, I think parks should do a system-wide assessment of which areas have outdated boundaries and hours based on changed circumstances. And Sulcrest is the prime example. I gave you the schedule there to show you how Sulcrest is the most complicated schedule in the city. 13 time periods, 5 seasons. For mornings, there's a 6 to 8, there's a 6 to 9, there's a 6 to 10, and there's a 6 to midnight. It is way too confusing. Most dog owners at Sulcrest don't really pay attention to this. And the reason why it's complicated was devised around Edwards Grade School, which shut down in 2007. This needs to be simplified, and you'll have much better buy-in and compliance and less hassle. Lastly, a quick wrap-up is 1 in 3 dog owners, 1 in 3 households has a dog. So I really applaud and thank the city and council for giving this issue so much time and effort and money over the past 10 years to make this the best off-leash dog program in the city and Portland, number one dog town in the country. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Barbara Pierce, and I'm testifying on behalf of my husband, CJ Hurley, and myself. We have had many dogs over the years, and currently we have one. We take her for a long walk every morning, and our daily path takes us through 2 Northeast Portland parks, Oregon Park, which does not have an off-leash area, and Laurelhurst. And on the weekends, we frequent lots of other parks, so we have experience with this issue in many parks in the city. Our dog is always walked on a leash, but unfortunately, we regularly encounter a lot of off-leash dogs outside of the official off-leash areas, and it's a big problem for us, and it impacts our ability to walk in and use certain areas of the parks. On many occasions, when we have issues with off-leash dogs, it requires us to leave the park altogether and go on a different route. So our ability to enjoy our wonderful city parks is greatly impacted by off-leash dogs. Most days, we are likely to encounter as many off-leash dogs as we do on outside of the off-leash areas. On occasion, we ask people to leash their dog before they go by us or before we walk by. Sometimes that is met with a smile and people happy to do it. Often it's met with anger and the representation that we're the problem because we have our dog on a leash. There are people who regularly visit the parks by car. They'll let their dog out of the car. The dog runs happily into the park to play while the person is getting their kid out of the car, they're closing up the car, or doing whatever. We have witnessed instances where we have to stop our dog and just stand and wait for up to 5 minutes while this off-leash dog is running around playing and the parent is back at the car and can't even see them. At Laurelhurst Park, there's a lot of foliage between the paths and the street. So when dogs are running up to our dog, she reacts in a defensive manner. On-leash and off-leash dogs don't always mix. So that then creates a situation that we have to deal with. Often, if the dog will not retreat when we tell it to, then we're having to muscle our dog to get her out of the way. That's not good for her physically. It's not good for us physically. And unfortunately, it's a regular occurrence and something that we stress over. In the past 15 months, we've had 3 occasions where we've encountered aggressive dogs who have approached our dog and would not retreat when commanded. We've seen this happen to other people as well. It's a regular occurrence at Laurelhurst Park. When it happens that in these situations where the dogs are aggressive, the dog owner never has a sense of urgency about getting their dog, so then it becomes this prolonged, it creates more agitation between the dogs, and in every occasion when we've addressed the other dog owner, they've reacted really viciously and often violently. We love our city parks and we love dogs in general. We want people and dogs to be able to enjoy our parks and get lots of outdoor activity. We fully support off-leash dog areas and feel that we're lucky to have so many in Portland. However, we believe that it is unfair to dogs and people that our parks cannot be enjoyed without having to worry about off-leash dogs and their owners who are not following the law. We would love to be able to go on our daily walks with our dog and not have to constantly stop while someone gets their dog under control or divert our path because we are concerned about the behavior of an off-leash dog that is not being monitored. I would like to say that there was a short period of time last spring and summer when leash laws were being enforced in Laurelhurst Park and ranger presence was increased. And we noticed a big difference during that time, and it was really nice while it lasted. Unfortunately, when funding or whatever happened to take those ranger presence away, then people started going back to breaking the law. So we would like to encourage council to approve the proposed code change for greater enjoyment of all parks for people and pets.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Hi.
Hi, my name is Tanya March, and I'm going to just focus on the scoop part of this particular motion before you today. Mr. Salzman, about 6 years ago when my child was in kindergarten, I have a child in kindergarten at MLC school currently as well, but Carol Murphy was their kindergarten teacher, and she said, I need to do something about the pooping in Cooch Park. Half of the shoes of the kindergartners would be left outside of the classroom on a daily basis, because people were not picking up after their dog's excrement. What has happened, in my opinion, is we have a lot of parents who actually go out to Cooch Park, which is the MLC, it's public school property, it's run by the Parks Department, and cleaning up that dog excrement. We have our janitor staff going through the playground every morning, and we have Parks and Rec staff that come and do it as well. So it's not that the pickup, it's being handled in many ways. When I went to a tree planting on Saturday, we had to create, from that road strip where we were planting two maple trees, a pile of dog poop, so that when we were doing the tree planting, we wouldn't get our hands in the dog poop when the kids were digging with their trowels from the volunteer group. I am really excited. You know, here it's been 6 years that there's going to be some enforcement potential for getting owners to pick up after their own poop. Thank you.
Thank you. You're on. No, you're good.
Okay. I'm Susan Lindsay from the Buckman Community Association. The concern that I have about this ordinance as it's written is that neighborhoods that have parks that are heavily used and in areas where there are a lot of young people that have dogs that may not have cars and no means to get them to off-leash areas, such as Buckman has Colonel Summers Park, which we requested when the off-leash areas were first being created. We requested that an off-leash area be put in there. We have many, many, you know, hundreds of people who live in their 20s and who have dogs and like to spend time with their pets and mix with people. And we didn't get that. And so what happens is a park like that can easily be seen as a heavily non-compliant park where people can be fined under this the ordinance that you're suggesting. And my concern about that also, I share what Ellen's saying. I'm very concerned about the idea that the rangers now, I remember when the ranger program was created and we were pretty much guaranteed that the rangers were not going to be out there, you know, spending a lot of the time focusing on dogs and writing tickets for dogs. And now I'm very concerned that that is going to be happening, especially with the way that the funds are being set aside. So I think that I would really caution against this as it is, because you have to think that there are areas where people are unable to do the fact that they're, you know, trying to live without cars and using alternative transportation modes to be able to transport their animal to an off-leash area. I'm in complete agreement with my neighbor here from Northwest Portland, who about the scoop law. I mean, I don't have any concern about this, but the leash law. This is a way that people like to spend time with their animals, and not every neighborhood has this. Many neighborhoods have multiple off-leash areas in the parks, and some don't have any at all. And I think that that's an equity issue. And I would hate to see young people of Portland being penalized and getting these really large, which I think is sort of egregious, $150. I think that's huge. And tickets for something that they kind of do as a way to decompress after work and to hang out with friends, and that for the most part is pretty benign. But and they would do it in an off-leash area if they had one, but they don't. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thanks all for coming. Have more signed up?
That's all who signed up.
Okay. Thank you very much. This, unless there are any further council comments now, passes to second reading next week. And we have one item pulled from consent.
Item 371, authorized participation in Federal Communications Commission proceeding on radio frequency exposure limits and policies.
Thank you, Mayor. I asked for this to be pulled. If I had had more noticed, I would have had a marching band, balloons, and streamers for this particular item, but wanted Mary Beth Henry to come and tell us what it is and what, where it came from.
Thank you, Commissioner. The purpose of the resolution is to authorize staff to participate in an FCC proceeding on RF emissions. Under Commissioner Fritz's leadership in 2009, the council unanimously requested that the federal government update health studies on RF emissions. The studies were done in 1996. I don't know about any of you, but I did not even own a cell phone in 1996. So to put it in perspective, in 1997, there were 47 million subscriber accounts for wireless. Today, there are 322 million subscriber accounts. So needless to say, there's been a proliferation of devices. And then under Commissioner Saltzman's leadership, we adopted the Broadband Strategic Plan, which recognized that both wireless and wireline technology is critical to Portland's future. So we have sufficient policy to guide us in filing the comments. As council knows, we are prohibited from considering health effects of RF emissions in making local wireless decisions. But this proceeding provides us with an opportunity to again request that the federal government update these outdated studies. At this point, the notice has not been published in the Federal Register. We expect that to happen in the next few weeks, and then staff will have 90 days to file comments and then 60 days to file reply comments on, you know, any comments we see that we want to reply. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Mary Beth? And I don't believe anyone signed up to testify on this item. So let's take a roll call on the resolution.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, this demonstrates that Mary Beth Henry is the manager of the Office for Community Technology and is a nationwide expert on these issues and has been very helpful in Washington pushing this forward. And I also want to recognize the efforts of our delegation, Senator Merkley and others who have taken us up on our request for looking again. Ben Walters in the city attorney's office has been very helpful on this and gave me a lot of guidance on what we could and couldn't do at the local level. And the community of Portland, there are so many citizens who have put in so much time, and after we passed the resolution in 2009, took it upon as their responsibility to lobby their congressional representatives to push for this revision on the studies. So I am very happy to see this moving forward and wish you all the best as you continue to engage in this. Also thank Tim Crail in my office and Brendan Finn in Commissioner Saltzman's who have been passionate about this issue and will no doubt continue to be so. Aye.
Hales.
Good work. Thank you. Aye. And we are adjourned. Thank you all.